This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hey gang, welcome to the show. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. You know RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. People go there for the articles and people go there for the archives and people go there for the live stream. And while you're at it, make sure to click on the donate button and send what you can. 10, 20, 30, 40, even $100 or more, if it's affordable. You can send it per month. It's worthwhile, believe me. It's worth it. Also, you can go, I say this all the time, but it's because it needs to be said. The Kosher Question. You could go to the kosherquestion.com, or you can find the link at nationalbugle.com, where Mark Dankoff puts all of those great headlines up that we talk about, and he'll be joining me later this week, I think for two shows. That'll be something to look forward to. So we'll have probably our regular headline roundup, and then maybe on Friday we'll have something where we're going into a deeper discussion about some particular topic. But yes, the Koshertified app is great fun. It is a template for how we need to go about fixing so many problems. Because, as you know, knowledge is key. This is what you hear on our RBN commercials. Knowledge is key. And Koshertified is this app is a great way of getting particular types of knowledge out. And it works. And it's fun. So you can get information, obviously, on what foods are kosher or not kosher, you know, not certified kosher, and if you're keeping kosher or you're not keeping kosher or you're avoiding kosher foods, any of those people, if you fall into any of those groups, it's useful to you. But then also it has other useful information, and it's a template. So want to know what products boycotted Tucker Carlson because he was getting a little too close to the truth? Yeah, there's an app for that. It's called Koshertified. So go there. Today is a call-in show. I'm live in the studio with Mr. T at the switchboard. And the number there is, let me get it right. I've got it written down. I got so many numbers here on my board. Let's see which one. It is 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. Some people think I should have it memorized, but you know, I could tell you my friend Carrie or my friend Bob or my friend Willard's phone number from when I was in fourth grade. I could tell you those. They were only seven digits. There weren't as many digits back then. I could tell you those. But, you know, you get on in years a little bit, and it's just so many numbers. You start writing things down. But, so you can call me up and we can talk. I'm going to start talking about Iran because it's in the news, and there's obviously a struggle. There's been a struggle going on for a long time. Some people tend to think that there is a master plan, that there is one central authority structure, like a secret government, and everything is going according to script. I think that there's a struggle going on, and a lot of it's in front of the scenes, and a lot of it's behind the scenes. So a lot of it we have to guess at, but there's a lot that we can see. And I don't think Donald Trump, his election was in any script by any secret government. I think it was very much a big major pothole that they struck. Did it ruin the rim of their wheel? No, I don't think so. I think that maybe it gave them a flat tire. They've changed the tire. I call it the Jude Etat. That's one way of calling it, because there is a major Jewish role in it. It's not as if Jews run everything. It's not as if they exclusively have power. But I do think that in order to understand, to really understand what's going on, you do have to take a very careful look at the nature of Jewish power in the United States and in the world. Otherwise, you're not going to get adequate answers. It's not as if Jewish power is the answer to everything, but if you ignore it, you're not going to get adequate answers. And without adequate answers, you're not going to be able to come up with adequate countermeasures. And this is what we need to do. This is what we try to do at RBN and at National Bugle Radio. So I call it the Jude Etat, because there is a very big Jewish element in the resistance to Donald Trump, the efforts to thwart him, and I would say successful efforts. I think he's been pretty successfully thwarted. It's unknown whether or not he is going to be of much use. Why do I call it a Jude Etat? Well, you had the Jewish media, for sure. You had the Jewish media, and the most Jewish parts of it, you know, CNN. My goodness, there is a good, you could look at it. There's a good graphic that is up. If you go to, say, Google image search, and you write probably CNN Jews, you will find a graphic that's got many, many dozens of photographs of high-profile CNN Jews and not so high-profile. You know, it starts off obviously with Jeff Zucker, you know, the big boss who runs it, and then a lot of the big personalities like Wolf Blitzer, Jake Tapper. You see their big pictures up at the top, and you go down, you see the correspondence, and then you see, you know, just a lot of people who you know, producers and whatnot. And you can, whoever put that together also put together the Jews at the New York Times, the Jews at, I think at NBC, or maybe it's MSNBC, probably NBC, which includes MSNBC and CNBC. You can find these. The Jewish, you don't have to call it control. Domination, I think, is a good enough word. Jewish domination of the media is clear, and these Jewish dominated news organs like CNN did everything they could to prevent the election of Donald Trump, and then the, you know, election on November 8th, election day, but then also they tried to prevent it on the Electoral College voting, which was what, December 15th or something, December 12th, 15th, I can't remember when it was. It was in December, and then they, you know, they were pulling out the stops trying to thwart the counting of his votes, if you remember, all the objections. And if you don't remember, I did a live broadcast of that, or more or less live broadcast of that for National Bugle Radio before I was on RBN, when it was just a podcast, and you can go to my YouTube channel and you could go back and see that. The, like, Jamie Raskin of Maryland objecting to votes that were, you know, the electoral votes of Alabama for Donald Trump, objecting to it because it was racist and because of Russia. They tried everything they could, and then once he was sworn in, then they tried to thwart him through other means, such as the Mueller probe, the Russia hoax, various, you know, courts, lower courts, lower federal courts striking down Muslim bans and this and that. Of course, it wasn't just the media. You had people in the deep state, not everybody in the deep state, meaning the bureaucracy that doesn't change from, well, typically we think of the bureaucracy that doesn't change from administration to administration, the permanent bureaucracy. But of course, you have people who are political appointees who you could also throw into the deep state, who You got somebody like Clapper, James Clapper, who was the director of National Intelligence, kind of oversees the CIA and the NSA and the FBI and a bunch of these agencies, oversees and coordinates them. He was somebody who was, I guess his background is military, a general, and then he's in CIA, and now he's in the media. You could classify somebody like that as a deep state figure too. You know, it's the deep state, typically think of it as the permanent bureaucracy, but it's probably more than that. Depends how you want to define it. This is, you know, just a term that people have come up with, deep state. And they have been trying to thwart Donald Trump, and I think they've been successful. I think the coup d'etat has basically been successful. And so often when I'm writing or talking about it, I'm starting to refer to Donald Trump as former president of the United States. Now, he still lives in the White House, and presumably the person who's got the codes for launching nuclear weapons in a suitcase still follows Donald Trump around, and he could still issue orders to do things, and one would think that in most cases those orders would at least initially start to be followed. You can make the case that he's still the president, but he's been very much neutered. And he gave a very interesting interview, and we played some of it on Stormfront Radio this morning, an interview that he gave with Fox News. Stephen Hilton, was that the guy's name? And he was saying that, you know, he defeated ISIS. No, of course, it was Assad with the help of Hezbollah and the Russian Air Force that defeated ISIS. But saying, yeah, I defeated ISIS, caliphate, it's 100% gone. So I wanted to pull out the troops, and God, what a ruckus there was. And, well, you know, it was supposed to be his decision. According to the Constitution, the laws of the land, he can pull out people, the troops, if he wants to. And he seemed to be saying in the interview that he was thwarted by what he called the military-industrial complex. There is a military-industrial complex. You can say he's being weak. He is a weak president. He's a weak president because he doesn't really know what he's doing. Being a businessman, maybe that was useful for helping him run the economy. And maybe he's doing an okay job running the economy. You know, people can have their opinions about that. But in terms of getting the military or the bureaucracy or Congress to rein them in and to have them do the things he wants to do, no. Being a reality show host and a real estate tycoon does not seem to have helped him very much. He, for one thing, it didn't bring him into contact with the types of people he needed to staff those parts of his administration. And, you know, he staffed his administration with people he didn't know, people who were recommended by the Republican establishment, people who had no loyalty to him and no devotion to his platform. So there you go. And now somebody like Dwight D. Eisenhower, who had spent a career in the military, probably, you could say he probably knew the military well enough to get it under his control. But even then, look at the whole U-2 incident, which I guess was more CIA than military. But that did not seem to be an order that he issued. That seemed to be the deep state of his era trying to undermine him and his diplomacy with Nikita Khrushchev. President Johnson, you could say, you know, he knew how to run Congress. He had been the Senate Majority Leader before becoming Vice President. And what happened to him? Well, he actually got a lot of stuff through. He probably knew what he was doing pretty well. Donald Trump, not so much. Let's bring on Wayne from West Virginia. Wayne, welcome to the show.
Good morning, or afternoon, rather, now. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Okay. I just wanted to pass this on. I was watching one of the major news programs, I don't remember which one, a couple weeks ago, and they were talking about the Holocaust Memorial in Washington, and they said they were going to add on to the memorial a memorial for the Jews that were died at the Polish Holocaust and at Auschwitz, and they were going to add on to it to honor the 1 million Jews that were killed at the Polish camp, and which caught my ear, Dr. Plattery, this was 4 million.
Yeah, it was 4 million, now, that's right.
Now it's 1 million.
But still the total is 6 million.
Are they willing to subtract that 3 million?
So, yeah, it's math. The laws of mathematics are different when you're talking about the Holocaust. There's, you know, the transitive property or the reflexive property. You just got to throw those out the window. It doesn't apply.
Well, the good news was yesterday I was watching a news program and they were talking about the Holocaust. And they said, well, the 3 million Jews that were murdered in the Holocaust in Germany, and they used the 3 million number. So my question that I have, which that to me is in a way good news, that at least they're willing to bring that number down. So if they're willing to put on the plaque in Washington when they build that Holocaust memorial for the Polish camp, then that means that they can be questioned immediately. Well, was it 3 million or was it 6 million? So if they're going to honor in that way, then they're going to have to bring that number down, which apparently when I was watching the news yesterday, a show about the Holocaust, they used the 3 million number. So we'll have to wait and see. But it was, to me, it was like, well, it's good to hear, even though I know that the official figure by the Red Cross was, I think, 286,000 died in the camps under German control. And that was Jews, Gypsies, whoever, and they died from starvation and disease. So I don't think they'll ever admit that.
Go ahead. I was reading a book on genetics, and of course, all these books on genetics, they have to address eugenics and the Nazism and you know, the ultimate evil of the Holocaust. They all go there. I guess their publishers require it. But at any rate, this one particular book was talked about. I don't know. It might have had a firm number for homosexuals or a firm number for gypsies, and it had a certainly the firm 6 million for Jews, and then unknown numbers of Poles and Russians and this and that. And I thought, why unknown numbers of other groups? Why is it harder to count Poles or Russians or anyone else than Jews? Why do Jews have a fixed number and other groups? You know, sometimes you look in textbooks and it'll say, you know, 2 to 5 million or you know, something very, very good, but the Jewish number is always firm. And this is very odd. People have to notice this. What do you think? Oh, we all on the break.
I would think eventually, but, they hear that 6 million number over and over and over and over. But, after World War One, they claimed there were 6 million Jews killed, and sort of everybody around the world sort of laughed at them.
Well, and then if you look even before World War One, New York Times stories, and they will be talking about 6 million Jews being in peril. You want to hang on, and we'll talk about this on the other side of the break?
Yeah, I will hold on.
Okay, thanks.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back. So, we were talking about count the numbers of the events that are known as the Holocaust, the 6 million, and of course the somebody who in academia is considered the dean of Holocaust studies, Raoul Hildeberg, I think that's his name, or Hildeberg, he talks about 5.1 million. And how did he arrive at that? He arrived at that by looking at census data before the war, census data after the war, and then he considered what would have been normal amounts of births and deaths and did the math and came up with 5.1 million. Now, that's not a very rigorous methodology. And you take the case of, let's just say, Madeleine Albright, for instance. Madeleine Albright, who, before the war, she was in a Jewish family. She would have been counted as Jewish in census data. After the war, was pretending she wasn't Jewish. She said she didn't know she was Jewish. So she wasn't being counted as Jewish in census data. So according to Raoul Hildeberg's methodology, Madeleine Albright died in the Holocaust. So obviously that methodology is going to inflate numbers and, whatever. And then you have in the Iraq War, a team of researchers who published in the Lancet journal, the England's top medical journal, they'd gone to Iraq and they staked out, I guess, over 1,000 random geographic units in Iraq and knocked on all the doors in those units and asked if anybody had relatives, family members who had died in the Iraq war. And if they said yes, they said, can we see the death certificates? And so based on death certificates, they came up with a 1 million figure. It's a much more rigorous methodology. And yet that 1 million figure was never accepted. And the exaggerated 6 million figure is untouchable. Why is that, Wayne?
Well, we're not allowed to question our Jewish friends. And as you well know. And but anyway, getting back to what I wanted to say about the World War One deal, was they claimed it's 6 million, and so the rest of the world sort of laughed about it. But there was an investigation done, and their claim was that the German army was bringing in the railroad trains, and some of the cars were used as gas chambers, and the people were put on the gas in the railroad cars. Well, the investigation found out that no, what had happened when the German army went into certain areas, the lice were so bad that the troops were getting loaded with lice as well. And they were using these cars to fumigate the population and the military personnel as well to get rid of the lice. Now, does that coincide with what they were doing at the German camps in World War II, I don't know. But the bottom line is that, you know, this was taken care of, investigated, and proven to be false. So, also, the Auschwitz, the Polish camp, was also investigated and found to be false by some credible people. And then we turn around and the 4 million becomes 1 million. So, you know, everything's in question. And mm-hmm. Of course, we got to realize that, you know, having the poor Jews suffered enough. But the numbers just don't match. It's
And why shouldn't we question it? I mentioned James Clapper. He was on the PBS NewsHour last night. And Judy Woodruff did bring up that 17 years ago, in the run-up to the Iraq War, because they were talking about Iran, in the run-up to the Iraq War, that James Clapper was one of the people who was responsible for the claim that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. And Clapper says, yes, my fingerprints were on that report, but then just goes on to spew whatever nonsense he's trying to spew now. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, he was in on it, but it was the New York Times, it was really a Jewish-led establishment that told us that we had to invade Iraq. It's a Jewish-led establishment that tells us that, you know, white people are so horrible and that, you know, we have to have the open borders. This Jewish-led establishment says so many things that have been demonstrated as lies that are clearly intended to subjugate the, you know, the white people who were living here in America or in Europe. And the Holocaust narrative is used in the exact same way. Why should we regard these Holocaust scholars as being neutral and objective when the Jewish establishment clearly has this agenda?
Well, you know, I was watching an article on TV and Colin Powell's chief of staff was on there, and he was saying about the weapons of mass destruction. He said, look, I am the one that wrote that for Colin Powell. And when
okay,
I wrote it...
I'm hearing the music, but I want to hear what was said about this, so can you stick on till after the break?
Okay.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Patrick Slattery with Wayne from West Virginia, who's telling us about Colin Powell and his aide regarding the weapons of mass destruction lie.
Yeah, anyway, his chief of staff said that, he said, I wrote the speech for Colin Powell, he said, pertaining to weapons of mass destruction. He said, I didn't think anybody would believe it anyway. He said, but Israel insisted that Colin Powell give the speech because the American people would believe him. Mm-hmm. And he said, if you don't believe that we went to war in Iraq because of Israel, then you're a damn fool. And that was his exact quote.
Wow.
which was very, very interesting. And I don't know whether you watch the RT news on TV or not.
No, I rarely do.
Okay, RT. Jesse Ventura was on there last week, and he was talking about Israel and Israel not being allowed to question Israel and so on and so forth. And he gave a beautiful report. And he said, they have no right to tell me that I can't disagree with them. That does not make me a Semite. He said, the guy that goes in the synagogue and kills people, he's a Semite, and he's a racist. I am not. But anyway, he had a girl that would name like five things about Israel to agree or disagree, and she would say what they're doing and so on and so forth. But the bottom line was, and then he would come on and say, I agree with you 100%, and then he would go into his spiel about Israel. So anyway, on RT, they don't pick on Israel. They just talk about the facts, and they bring it. They bring up Israel, you know, quite, not every day or anything, but, you know, you might watch it a week, and you might get three articles on Israel. And very, very, very interesting, and it's not to where they're putting themselves out as Semites or anything like that. They're just saying these are the facts, and this is both sides of the story. And they'll even bring a, like Iran, they had a gentleman from the University of Iran on there, and another guy that was a military retiree, and they were in total disagreement, but they got both sides, and the professor that was from Iran spoke excellent English, and they were doing the news story from Tehran. And this professor just tore this guy all to pieces. He said, we don't want war, and he went on and on, and how it wouldn't benefit Iran, it wouldn't benefit America. And they did a pretty good article on that. But anyway, back to those numbers, you know, we'll probably really never know the exact number and what really took place. You and I weren't there, so we can just do our research and pass on whatever we think needs to be told.
Well, agreed? Okay, so there's, you know, one question is what actually happened, you know, with numbers, with were people gassed to death and turned into lampshades? Did they die from typhus epidemic, things like that? There's that aspect of it. But then there's also the context, the historical context in which various events took place. And if you're asking, well, was there a certain amount of hostility towards Jews in Central and Eastern Europe and other places in Europe in the 1930s and 40s? And obviously there's a certain amount. What was that due to? Was that simply just because white people have a congenital hatred of the other, which is basically the story? Or, you know, because in the book of John, it accuses Jews of being Christ killers? Or was there something more to it? And of course, if you look at events that were taking place at the time, or, you know, in years very, you know, like we remember 9/11 very well. And so people in the 1930s are going to remember, for instance, the end of World War One, the so-called stab in the back, the Jewish Bolshevik takeovers of Bavaria and Saxony and Hungary, to say nothing of Russia, you know, the Holodomor. These are all going to be very recent memories. If, you know, we make decisions about what to do based on events that have happened since 9/11, all these things that happened in the aftermath of World War One, between the wars, are going to matter. And if you go back and you look at Adolf Hitler's campaign speeches, for instance, what's he talking about? Judeo-Bolshevism. And, you know, there was a reason that people in Central and Eastern Europe would have been alarmed at Jews, would have seen Jews as being threatening to them. But you're not allowed to talk about that.
Yeah, I'll give you an example. We'll take Lapia, for instance. There was a report, and the people in Lapia, once the Germans moved in, they started actually killing the Jews and clubbing them to death. And, you know, and they was one of the Lapians actually jumped them on the bodies and sang the national anthem that under Jewish Bolshevism that they were not allowed to sing. And, of course, we're getting some of that here. But nevertheless, they went to Hitler and said, look, what do you want us to do about in Latvia because they're murdering the Jews in Latvia. And Hitler said, well, he said, I got a war to fight, and I ain't got time to worry about a few Jews getting killed. And he said, I'm losing troops every day by the thousands. And he said, and after what the Jews done to those people, can you really blame them? So there was a lot of revenge being taken in some of these other countries, Ukraine, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia. And I had met a German officer, SS officer, was from Estonia, and he told me what happened over there. And he said that the Bolsheviks moved in, and once they moved in, they were raping the local women, and they would stick a gun in your father's mouth, let the soldiers rape your mother and sisters, and your father blinked an eye, they shot him. And he said, in most of these officers that were leading, you know, were Jews. So when the Germans moved in and liberated them, most people don't understand that, but once they were liberated, then they took revenge out on the Jews. And he was telling me in one case that he joined the German army, and he said, we were going to Moscow, and we detained 100 and some people who said they were Lithuanians. And he said, so we notified the Lithuanian military and asked them to check it out. And he said, a truck pulled up on a hill, and the driver got out and left. And he said, we waited and waited, and nothing happened. And he said, we went up there, and there was a note there, and it said, this is an ammunition truck, and they are not Lithuanians, they're Jews. We hope we answer your question. So I asked him, I said, well, what did you do? He said, well, we didn't take 120 Jews to Moscow with us. So, and left it at that. So there was a lot of revenge going on in some of these, and probably more so than Germany, because Germany tried to keep things as under control as much as they could. But if you were a Lithuanian and your parents or your sister had been raped, and, you know, what kind of feelings do you have?
Mm-hmm.
So these are the kind of things that were happening over there.
So,
and as you know, believe it or not, just read Hellstorm, and it'll answer a lot of your questions. Go ahead, Duncan.
Well, we have, I know you call into Stormfront from time to time, and on Stormfront Radio we have a caller who calls in from time to time who's a Jewish individual, and he says he's put up signs in his front yard saying that the Holocaust is a hoax and things like that. And imagine being Jewish, being born Jewish in America or, you know, elsewhere in the Western world, and you say, oh my God, you know, my people or the Jewish people they've done a lot of really bad things, and they're doing a lot of really bad things, but how do you stop them? How do you stop them? If you stop them by saying, look, the Jewish people have been responsible for this and that and this and that, well, then is that going to unleash the type of revenge and retaliation that you're describing the Latvian people of having resorted to? So what do you do? I mean, if you're a Jew. So, I mean, it's quite a conundrum, right? Do you speak out, but then risk like some massive backlash? And I think this is part of the reason we have like this whole spectrum, not just among Jews, but also among non-Jews, this whole spectrum of coping mechanisms, you know, some that completely deny, we have all these problems, but it's not Jews. Jews are just high-paid slaves or something like that. There's a secret government, an NWO or whatever. We have this because I think the truth is. The truth is dangerous. It's dangerous because how are people going to react when they know? When I was growing up, and I don't necessarily believe this now, but I think my brother told me regarding the Kennedy assassination that it was, and I don't think this is the case, but the story he told me was, yeah, Castro was behind the Kennedy assassination, and he did it because the CIA and the mafia kept trying to assassinate Castro dozens and dozens of times, and finally he wound up, Castro wound up outbidding the CIA, and he got some mafiosos to kill Kennedy. And then Johnson came in and said, oh my God, if the people find out that Castro killed Kennedy, they're going to want to invade Cuba and we'll have World War III, and I can't let that happen, so I'm going to cover it up. Now, I don't think that's what happened, but that you can see the logic there. If there's something outrageous, and if people find out, it's going to, you know, spark events that you don't want those events to happen, then what do you do? What do you think of that?
Well, you know, I'll give you an example. Back in the 70s, early 70s, in Baltimore, there was a rabbi from Israel coming over to make a speech, and it was well written up in the paper and everything. Rabbi so-and-so is coming from Israel, and he will be at the Jewish Center and blah, blah, blah. So he got on the stage. He came and got on the stage, and he looked at everybody there, and he said, you know, and I know, there was no Holocaust, but it is yet to come, and it's going to come right here in America. And, of course, he was immediately hauled off the stage and taken back to the airport, Friendship International, and they flew his ass back to Israel, for whatever that's worth. And that's the rabbi from Israel telling the rest of the Jews. But yeah, there's a thing called revenge. But look what's going on. When I hear we talk about what happened in Lafayette and the laws and what these people were put under control by the Bolsheviks, well, wait a minute. Let's look here. Everything they were telling me, and one of the things was, well, they wanted us to accept homosexuality and blah, 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 and we had gun control, and well, hell, we're wanting to have that here, and they're going to make laws now that you can't criticize, or you could get fined and maybe go to jail, and look what's happening in Europe. So, you know, I don't care how much money you make, Dr. Slattery. I could care less. You can make all the money you want in the world. You can live where you want. You can do what you want. But don't tell me how I am to think, what I'm to say, and what I'm to believe in. There's where I, you know, draw the line. And I think as things worse and worse, anything is subject to happen.
I've got a question. You're probably a few years older than me. When I was a kid growing up, I used to watch Hogan's Heroes. You probably remember Hogan's Heroes. And it was a story about Allied prisoners of war, mostly Americans, but a Frenchman and an Englishman were in there. And they were always escaping. And the prison guard was kind of lovable, Sergeant Schultz. And the head of the prison camp, Colonel Klink, he was quirky and weird and funny. And when I was watching it, I had absolutely no awareness of any Holocaust story, any 6 million Jews dying. And my dad, who was a World War II vet, he said, oh, yeah, Hitler was the worst person in history. Why? Oh, because he was trying to take over the world. Now, he wasn't trying to take over the world. But the point is, my father, who was a World War II vet, never said anything about 6 million Jews or death camps or anything like that. When did you hear about this? Do you remember when you first started hearing about death camps and Holocaust?
Well, it was after the war. But I do remember when I was a kid, probably this was in the 40s, probably around 48 or 49. The Jews actually would not tell you they were Jewish. They would tell you that they were German. And a lot of them had the German name, and they would not admit that they were Jewish. at all. And then these were the Jews that was coming around selling dresses and sort of like the when they started out, they'd come to your house and they'd show your mother dresses and stuff, and she would buy them. And then afterwards, they'd open up a store. And of course, back then, it was, the funny thing was you could go, if you were that first customer, you would beat that Jewish owner down to almost zero for that suit or whatever you wanted, because he believed that if he lost that first sale, then he was going to have a bad sale the rest of the day.
Okay,
so
we're
there was,
off
you know,
our,
the older.
We're going after our last break. If you want to stay on, I have another question.
Okay.
There's an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Welcome back to the show, National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Patrick Slattery with Wayne from West Virginia. I have out the 1950 edition of Encyclopedia Britannica. I've got it's volume 12, which has the H's in it, and I just want to read you the entrance for Holocaust. This is a 1950 edition. Holocaust, strictly a sacrifice wholly destroyed by fire. The word appears in Greek only in the Septuagint, Leviticus 6:23, in the form, I can't read the Greek, the holy burnt thing. Such are the sacrifices of the Jews described in the Pentateuch as whole burnt offerings. See sacrifice. The term is now often loosely applied to a catastrophe on a large scale, whether by fire or not, or to a massacre or a slaughter. Now, originally maybe they weren't using the term Holocaust for these events. This is 1950. But I can't read the entry for Hitler, but it's in this same volume. And I've had this. This was in my house when I was growing up. And the Hitler entry, it talks about, Nuremberg laws, but it doesn't talk about death camps or anything. When did you first hear the allegations of death camps? Do you remember?
Probably didn't hit it really big until the 60s, mm-hmm. If I remember correctly. But it wasn't, I'll give you the thing about like Slovakia. As you well know, Trump's wife's from Slovakia. Mm-hmm. So the Germans wanted to...
She's from Slovenia.
Yeah. And, anyway, the Jews or the Germans went in there and they said, well, we want you to... We'll take all your male Jews from you because we need them in the work camps. And the leaders there said, whoa, wait a minute. Then we're stuck with the women and kids, and we'll have to take care of them. So it ended up they cut a deal that they would pay the Germans $500 roughly for each family that they took. So the Germans took the whole family from them. That's $500 a clip. I'm using a $500 a, but it, whatever it was a money exchange deal there. But I think what happens, and the same thing within, let's take the Russian deal. Putin, once he got in control and started, saying this is what's going to happen, these Jews that went over there and ripped Russia off, they all hauled ass. They went to France, America, Israel. They got out of there. And some of them, a few of them, he sent to jail. And the rest of them, he told them, look, you can do business here, but you're going to pay and just like everybody else. And you're not going to take your money out of the country. I'll freeze your bank accounts. So but what happened in Europe during World War II is the revenge, and a lot of these bad Jews, who we'll call them, they left, they took off, come to America, came where, went wherever. And the sad part is that the Jew that was just trying to make a living and do what he was supposed to do and paying his taxes like you and I, he become a victim.
Wow.
And I think that's a lot of what took place. So
yeah.
What we need to talk is the atrocities that may or may not have happened.
Well, Wayne, thank you so much for your call. It's been a really interesting show. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the